Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. Praise God for His grace. What a blessing that is, and to be reminded of that. And all the music this morning, what a tremendous blessing. We pray all week long that God would make this a place of refuge, and not only for our members, but for all who would come through the doors. And it surely seems like and feels like a place of refuge this morning, and praise God for it. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 13, 2 Kings chapter 13, we're going to be reading verse 14 down to verse 21. 2 Kings chapter 13. If you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. We come to the end of the life of Elisha. And not too long ago, we went through and studied on the life of Elisha on a Wednesday night, and yet this is where the Lord would have us to be this morning, 2 Kings chapter 13. As I read, you follow along with me. In verse 14, it says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that, behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, it is a blessing, Lord, to be in church today. Thank you for how you've prepared each one of us for this service and how you have worked through the service already just to draw us closer to you. But now, Father, I ask that you would anoint the preaching of thy word. And I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The great prophet Elisha dies. As we have read here, we find that a man was being buried close to the sepulchre of Elisha. My wife and I had opportunity, the privilege of going to Israel this past year, was there in March, and it just opened my eyes to a lot of things concerning the scriptures. If I had not been there, I would have thought of they were preparing to bury him by just digging in 6 feet under the earth and putting his body in there. But when you go to Israel, you realize that's not how they bury the dead in Israel. It's all carved out of rock in that area. And so we find that there was a band of robbers coming while they were trying to carve out this rock for a burial for this man. When they seen the band of robbers coming, they knew they would not have enough time to get this grave opened up and cut out of the rocks, and so they rolled back the stone from Elisha's tomb. He would have been buried right close to them, and when they rolled back the rock and they laid the dead man into the sepulcher, the Bible says in verse 21, when the dead man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived. Now, that's an amazing story. We read in the Bible where God has recorded this in the place of scriptures, exactly where God wanted it recorded. The bones of Elisha. Elisha was known as a miracle-working prophet. He followed Elijah, but he performed more miracles in his ministry than what Elijah did. We find that right after Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, that Elisha, sensing the power of God upon his life, he was able to part the Jordan River. And everyone around seen that, and they acknowledged that the power that was upon Elijah was now upon Elisha. And from there, we find that he just continued serving God and performing different miracles. If you remember, you studied that, he increased the widow's oil to where it would not run out. He gave pregnancy to a Shunammite woman who could not get pregnant. After that, he raised her son who had died, and he raised him back from the dead. We find that he healed Naaman's leprosy. And we could go on and on about the miracles on which Elisha was able to perform. But then the last miracle associated with Elisha was his bones. The bones of Elisha. As we read this and study this passage of Scripture, we wonder, what is God's purpose in recording this, in this last miracle associated with Elisha? Because it was associated with Elisha, but it wasn't Elisha. He had already died, but it was his bones. And the question has to come up, was the power to perform the miracles in Elisha's bones? And then we study the scripture and we read, and there's no other recordings of anyone else ever being healed by these bones. No doubt these men, when they run back and they have this dead man that's still wrapped in his grave clothes, I mean, he's running with them. They're still trying to get away from the thieves. But now they're just marveled over this man was dead and now he's alive, and they go back in town. You know that this had to be the talk of the town. Everyone would have seen this, and they wondered, Elisha, the power in Elisha's ability to perform miracles must be in the bones. And can I tell you, there was no doubt a mad rush to the sepulcher to get the bones of Elisha. Talk about a fountain of youth. I mean, if you had leprosy, all you had to do is get a bone of Elisha and put it on you, and the leprosy would go if the power was in the bones. If somebody died and you wanted to bring them back to life, if you had a bone of Elisha, all you have to do is take that bone and put it on their body, and that body would come back to life if the power was in the bones. There's no doubt in my mind, because of what had taken place, whoever got back to the sepulcher, first of all, had these bones, and they were trying this out. They were trying to use the bones of Elisha to perform miracles until they realize they're just bones. They can't bring somebody back to life. They can't heal leprosy. They can't perform any miracle. So the first message, I believe, that God wanted them to receive and wanted us to receive from this recording of this miracle being performed is that even though Elisha is dead, the God of Elisha, the one who actually worked through Elisha to perform these miracles, is still alive. The God of Elisha is still available to be looked to and to be empowered by to accomplish whatever God would have us to accomplish in our lives. Look with me now to the New Testament, because anytime you find something in the Old Testament, this is a biblical principle. If it's a true biblical principle, you'll find New Testament scriptures that help us to better understand that principle. And so we look to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. Look down to verse 26. The Bible says, For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It's not what you can do, but if you're serving God, it's what God can do through you. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You see, to God be the glory. Elisha, if you would have been around him during that time, you would have thought Elisha as being the most powerful man alive. And if not careful, Elisha would never have wanted to get people to look to him and his abilities. He would have pointed them to God. But sometimes people want to look to humanity and they want to deify humanity. And that's not of God. No man is to be worshipped. You'll find that God works through the humble. Not those that want to be glorified, not those that want to have get all the celebration and get all the acknowledgement, but those in whom God works through to accomplish great and mighty things are those who say, to God be the glory. Yeah. Not Elisha. He was a vessel that God worked through. Not his bones. Praise the Lord. Elisha's dead. It wasn't Elisha, nor was it his bones. But it was the God of Elisha. You see, from the Old Testament throughout the New Testament, God works through individuals. But he is to be looked to, not the individual. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John the Baptist. Praise God for the life of John the Baptist. What a great blessing it was to have a forerunner that came to prepare humanity for the coming of Christ. But we find in John's mentality, as he had a following, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 35, of John the Baptist, says, and again the next day after John stood and to the disciples that were looking to John, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to work. Not following John the Baptist when they have opportunity, when Jesus is present, they're going to follow Christ. Very same of John chapter 3 and verse 30. I love this thought. John says, he must increase, but I must decrease. The emphasis should never be placed on us. The emphasis ought to be placed on, to God be the glory. Yeah. And the book of Philippians in chapter 1, this is throughout the scriptures we find this. The men that God would work through would have this kind of an attitude, this kind of a thought. The great apostle Paul, what a great testimony, what a great influence that he was. God used him to write 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. In the book of Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Elisha's dead, but the God of Elisha is still alive. Thank God for Abraham. Thank God for Moses. Thank God for Elisha and every other Old Testament saint that God worked through. Praise God for John the Baptist. Praise God for all the apostles and all the New Testament saints. Praise God for Paul and whoever else that God has worked through to impact your life. Be thankful for them. Praise God for their lives. But never lose sight of who's to be glorified. Glorify God. You see, in Elisha's bones, and this is only time in Scripture you'll ever find that somebody being healed, a miracle being performed through the bones of somebody. And we find that God did this so that they would understand it was not in Elisha's bones. It was not in Elisha. Elisha's gone. Yes, be thankful for how he impacted your lives. But praise God, the God of Elisha is still alive and available. God is still working. He worked throughout the Old Testament. He's worked some 2,000 years in this New Testament. And he's still working today. And he'll be working tomorrow. And he'll be working through those who will give him the glory. So Elisha's dead, but God, the God of Elisha, is still alive. If we go back, we find another thing here. I love this thought too. As we look to the bones of Elisha, the second purpose that God, that we have in God associating this miracle with the bones of Elisha. In 2 Kings and chapter 13, verse 21. And they let him down, and when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived. See, God continued to work through what Elisha left behind. Now, Elisha was not to be glorified, nor was Elisha's bones. It was the God of Elisha. And he could work through not only Elisha, but he could continue to work through what Elisha left behind. Yeah. Bones represented his testimony. I love what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 4, speaking of Abel, even though his older brother Cain killed Abel, we find that the Bible says about him being dead, yet speaketh. God continued to work through the testimony that he left behind, even though he was dead and gone. See, we ought to want to live a life that God will continue to use even after we're dead. I want God to use me while I'm alive. But I want God to continue to use what I leave behind. Jesus, our example, left no bones, but he left the number one thing, a testimony. In Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 2, Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 2, I love this. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. Now that's instruction for all of us in this New Testament church age. Even though he's not here, what he left behind is here. He left behind an example for all Christianity to follow after. That hadn't changed in 2,000 years. The same example that he left behind for Christianity in the first century is the very same testimony that he's left behind in this 21st century. That will never change. And we are to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a testimony. We have that to look to. Oh, that we would live such a testimony, even after we're gone. He left behind not only his testimony, but he left behind his word. His word. the Bible says in Mark in chapter 13, Mark in chapter 13, let me just read it to you. Mark in chapter 13 and verse 31. Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said this, heaven and earth, they're going to pass away. Everything about this world, it's going to pass away. But my words shall not pass away. For some 2,000 years, we've had the very words written down and recorded in this Bible right here for us to look to and live by. Now, I think of my father. My father raised me, my mom and dad, praise the Lord for that. There was 13 of us, amen. I was number 11 out of the 13. My father passed away when he was 59 in 1979. But can I tell you that every now and then, I still hear my father's voice. Things that he told me to do and not to do, and things that he instilled within me. Not only did he leave behind a testimony, he left behind his voice that's in my subconscious. It's in my mind as how his life impacted my life. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he left behind us, for us, his eternal Word, and it will always be here for us. He's promised that. But praise God, not only for his life, but for others that God has worked through that might not be here any longer, but their testimony and even their voice lives on. I trust my voice will live on in my children. I trust that my voice will live on even to the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Many of you, I mean, we've got charter members here. I've been 32 years pastoring this church. And many of you could probably speak what I'm about to speak. You've heard me so many times. And you know where I'm going before I get there, amen? I got to slow you down sometimes. Say, hey, wait a minute, let me get there first. You know where I'm going. But it's not me. It's the God that works through me. But if God works through me as a pastor to leave a voice behind that would encourage you to live for God, I want him to do that. Yeah. God continued to work through what Elisha left behind. He left behind a testimony. He left behind his word. He left behind his work. What are we accomplishing in our lives? What kind of work are we accomplishing? See, our workplace in the secular world, we should never live to work in the secular world. We work in the secular world to be able to live this Christian life and to be a witness there. But our work ought to be more than what I've accomplished for a company. Our work ought to be, what have I accomplished for Christ? Over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, what Jesus Christ left and something that will never go away, that he's established while he was here, and it will continue throughout this New Testament church age, is the work that he established in that he established his church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. It's been 2,000 years and his church is still going strong. Still preaching the word that he left for us to preach. Still obeying the commission that he left for the church to obey and to reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's no longer here. But God is still working through what he left behind. Yeah. And the last thing we find as we go through this, as we go back into 2 Kings, and what a blessing that it is when we understand why God has given us this insight into the miracle, the last associated with Elisha, the miracle-working prophet, in that it was through his bones. Not the bones, it's the God of Elisha. But God was still working through what he left behind, which would have been his bones. And the last thing is to be inspired by those whom God worked through. See, before Elisha died, look in verse 14. This is where we started our text this morning. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. He was going to die. The king of Israel had such a appreciation for Elisha, understood what a powerful man he was. The king of Israel, Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face. What a testimony Elisha would have had of this miracle-working prophet. And he says, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And what that would be, what he was saying was, you're the protector of Israel. What will we do if you're not here? God has worked through you in such a mighty way, and you've been able to keep us where we're at and keep us safe and all the different things that you've worked through. Where will we go and what will we do once you're gone? And he wept over this thought of losing this great and powerful prophet of God, Elisha. This is the king of Israel. And Elisha speaks to him about what will take place after he's gone. Verse 18, and he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. Now he would have had at least 6 arrows in his quiver. And he only use part of those. Elisha's already told him this was symbolic of what God's going to do, and he only used part of those arrows. And the man of God was wroth. He was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. That means give your all to accomplishing everything that God has for you to accomplish. Don't come up short. If you got 6 arrows and God wants you to shoot all six arrows. If it doesn't make sense to you, but if you know it's what God said to do, do what God says to do. He said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times, so we know he had at least 6 arrows. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. This is the last message that the king Joash had from Elisha, the prophet of God. He doesn't act on it. He didn't act on it until it was recorded and he heard there was a miracle. A man was brought back to life by just touching the bones of Elisha. Because God put it right there, in between. And that did something to Joash that inspired him to do what Elisha told him that he could do. Look down to verse 24. And Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead. And Joash, the son of Joahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Look right here. 3 times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. The story about God working through the bones of Elisha is placed right between what Elisha's last message to the king of Israel, and right between that was this story, and then the inspiration for the king of Israel to do what Elisha told him he could do. And he defeated Syria in 3 separate battles. Because he was inspired by what God had done, not only through the life of Elisha, but what God had done through the bones, what Elisha left behind. Be inspired. Be inspired to allow God to work through you as you witnessed Him working through others. Have you witnessed God working through others? Somebody had a part in leading you to Christ. Somebody had a part in you wanting to be in church on a Sunday, as you're in church on this Sunday. I was talking to you about my father. Before Dad died, he was serving as an associate pastor. And I was rebellious. I was running from God's call upon my life. And I remember getting the call that my dad had been in the hospital. And before I could get there, my father had passed. As a young 22-year-old man, I remember going into that room where my father laid. He wasn't breathing. He wasn't there. But what he left behind was there, and that was his body. And I remember some words that he had said to me. I remembered his testimony. I remember the work that he had accomplished by serving God. And I remember putting my hand upon my dad's body, looking up to heaven, and I thank God for the life of my father. I thank God for how his life, God worked through his life to impact my life, to raise me, to be an example, to give me a testimony, to show me the work. And I thank God for my father's life. And right after I thank God for my father's life, I said, Lord, I'll serve you with the rest of my life. And I'm continuing to do that. Almost 40 years. I'm continuing to serve the God of my father, the one who God worked through to impact my life. And I trust that God will continue to use my life while I'm alive, and even when I'm dead, to continue to inspire others to serve the God of Israel. Be inspired. Allow God to work through your life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. What a great passage of Scripture. The miracle through the bones of Elisha, centered in between what the king of Israel was able to accomplish. Where are you at? Are you wanting to be the example to those who'll come after you? Are you looking to follow those that have been an example to you? Either way, commit your life to being used of God. There's no greater life to live, no greater work on this earth that's taken place than the work of God. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for meeting with us today. Thank you for the truths of your word and for this example of the bones of Elisha. And I pray, God, that you'd now use it to speak to each and every one of us that are here. However you want to make the application, I pray that we'd be open for that, and then we'd be willing and ready to make whatever decisions based upon it. If there's someone here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that you'd speak to them about their need to be saved. Maybe somebody here that's been saved, that's not followed the Lord in believer's baptism, become a member of the church, that you would direct them to do that. Whatever it might be, God, I pray that you would just work in our midst, blessing this invitation in Jesus' name.